Welcome back to DC Talk, episode number 15. This is on November 4th, 2018. We are excited to be here and talk all things DC tonight, but I can't do it alone. Just like our Twitter poll had Robin winning out of the best sidekick in all of comic book history, tonight I have my faithful companion, Carrie, as Nightwing. How are you?
Well, I'd like to say I'm fired up and ready to go, but mostly I'm hopped up on caffeine and sugar, and I'm just going to call that good for now.
That's a lot of sugar. I'm just watching...
Mostly caffeine.
Matt and caffeine. I'm just watching my Patriots right now.
Go so sports if you hear me, ball.
I know. So if you hear me yell during the middle of the podcast, you understand this is why.
We understand that he is distracted by the sports ball.
I am distracted squirrel really easily.
Yes.
So... All right, but as far as network announcements go, we don't have any, but make sure you look for our other shows, check them out, listen to them, give them a good check out. I will tell you this, right now, we have some exciting news regarding Cape Chronicles, but I will not tell you that news. If you are not listening to Cape Chronicles, you are missing out. It is coming. You will find out what the special news is shortly, so make sure you listen to Caped Chronicles. And if you have not checked out our last Caped Chronicles episode when we had Fred and Andrea with us, joygasm. I mean, just that's about all. That's
guys,
about
we
all.
We broke Mike last week.
It was
fabulous.
Oh, my face was red. I was crying. So I was laughing so hard I had to mute my mic so I wouldn't have to edit all that stuff out. I mean, it was. I love that movie now. It's probably one of my favorite movies now. So now every time I see Jim Carrey as a Riddler, I'm going to think joygasm.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why.
Yay.
But check out Cape Chronicles. We did Batman Forever. We've had a lot of response on that episode. As a matter of fact, I think that's the most response we've had is on that own episode.
Oh, cool.
So I expect even more response on our next episode when we discuss Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from 1995. But
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Before we get into Cape Chronicles, we're not going to. We're here to talk DC news, everything DC. So, we're going to start off with our DC TV news. There are no new episodes of Flash or Black Lightning this Tuesday because it is Election Day. I know we mentioned that last week, but I'm mentioning it again this week. So, don't forget, there's no Flash or no Black Lightning on Election Day this week. So get out there, exercise your right to vote.
Yeah, get out there and vote like there's no tomorrow, guys.
Pick your party, pick your person, but get out there
and vote. Just get out there and vote.
Yes. All right, what else we got?
Well, okay, so Jesse L. Martin, who plays Joe on The Flash, is going to be taking a leave of absence due to, looks like, a back injury.
Right. That's generally why we've seen him sitting down this season.
Yeah, I've pretty much figured that's why he hasn't been moving around too much and just sitting around, sorry to see him go even for a little while, but hopefully he gets this taken care of and he's back on his feet and does his exercises. I suddenly feel like I'm speaking to my dad about making sure he goes to physical therapy and all that wonderful stuff. And he's back on screen sooner rather than later.
I agree. I hope he comes back sooner than later. I miss him on there when he's not on there. You definitely know he's missing when his presence is not there. He was standing up in his past week's episode, but he was leaning against the door frame, so he wasn't really doing anything too physical. So I kind of figured something was odd when he wasn't standing throughout the season, but I didn't know exactly what it was. But now we do. He had some back injury, and he's already finished filming the rest of his season or his scenes that he needed for the show for the season. So they did say that they have found a way to, in a way, write him out without hurting his character. So we'll be interested in seeing what's going to happen. I'm glad they left the door open for him to come back.
That's good, because every season it's been like, are they, they're not going to, no, don't kill Joe. Please don't kill Joe. Please, please, guys, don't kill Joe.
well, you know the golden rule. Anytime a character says they're happy,
yeah,
they're axed. When
yes.
We do know him and
Cecile.
Who?
Cecile.
Cecile. I was gonna say Lucille for some reason, but I'm thinking.
I don't know why you're thinking
Negan
that
style right now. But I'm thinking Walking Dead. Then you know Walking Dead's on my mind because it's the last episode tonight of Rick Grimes on the show.
Oh.
Andrew Lincoln's leaving after tonight, so I'm kind of interested in how that's gonna. Anyways, that's not.
But you digress. You digress. And
yes, I digress.
Yeah.
But anyways, Jesse Martin, we our thoughts and our prayers and comforts are with you. We hope you have a speedy recovery, and you get back to the show soon. But moving on to our next show, Gotham. Gotham has cast Once Upon a Time alum Jamie Murray as a key season 5 role. In case you don't know who she played Fiona the Black Fairy in Once Upon a Time. I stopped watching it in the last season.
Okay.
When they, I didn't watch the last season when Henry
Me
grew
neither.
Up. I stopped watching it, you know, the season before that. She also plays Antoinette in the originals. Now I know her more from the TV show Defiance. Did you ever watch that?
Yes.
Okay.
I
she
loved her.
She played Stamatar.
Oh yes.
On
I
Defiance.
Loved her in that.
She also played, I knew her from Warehouse 13, where she played H.G. Wells.
Oh, nice.
On Warehouse 13, which I thoroughly enjoyed that show. We need to do a podcast about that show, even though it's done.
Warehouse
or Eureka.
13?
Or Eureka.
They're both on my list to watch. I haven't watched either of them yet.
Oh, Carrie, they're so good.
I have so much other stuff I need to watch right now. It's not even funny.
I know. Oh, by the way, remember a few seasons or a few podcast episodes ago, one person that's going to be on a show coming up that I said is on the night shift,
mm-hmm.
and I've got to season 3. I just finished
Jennifer
season
Beale?
3. Yes. So I saw her in season 3. I'm thinking it's going to be an amazing actor on whatever show's coming up with her in it. She did a phenomenal job on that show.
Yeah, I think she's supposed to be on Swamp Thing.
Yes, that's right. So I've got one more season of Night Shift, and then I've got to burn through Daredevil. So I hadn't even started Daredevil yet. I'm trying to finish Night Shift. I hate starting multiple shows. but anyways, so Jamie Murray is coming to Gotham for season 5 for a key role. We don't know exactly what the role is going to be yet. But welcome. Welcome to DC TV. Any other news about Gotham? We have a couple more here today.
Well, let's see. The final season of Gotham has been expanded from 10 episodes to 12.
Okay.
Let's not get our hopes up that this means that this won't be the last season. But we are getting a couple of extra episodes, so yay.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is gonna be good. And like Gotham has gone off the rails in all the best ways, and I hope they continue to do that.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to get picked up anymore.
I kind of doubt it, but you know, we can, you know, they could change their minds. Weirder things have happened.
Right. You know, it'll be. I mean, I think it'll be all right. I think they have a lot of the ground they want to cover, so they had to just add 2 more episodes to make sure they get all the ground
yeah,
covered in it.
Yeah.
But speaking of Gotham, Gotham's final season premiere date has finally been announced. It will debut season 5 on Thursday, January 3rd, followed by an all-new episode of The Orville.
Yay!
The Orville.
Yay!
So.
Both. I love The Orville so much.
But we're not talking about Orville. We're talking about
Gotham. I know. We're not talking about Orville. Other than it's like Star Trek for the, you know, the less mature audience.
I like Orville,
which is awesome. I love the Orville. I love that they go places that it took Star Trek a while to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gotham Season 5, the final bittersweet season, comes on January the 3rd.
Yay. Okay, and then let's see. Another character has joined the Elseworlds crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And this is... actually, I think we've seen this before. I mean, we know John Wesley Shipp is going to be back as well, we don't know if he's going to be Jay Garrick or Jay Allen or who he's going to be actually playing in Elseworlds. But let's see.
It's going to be Bob Frazier.
Yes, is being cast as Roger Hayden, a.k.a. Psycho Pirate.
I just love that name.
I like that name too. I'm not familiar with that character.
So I'm not either. I don't know. I know very little about him. But as far as Bob Frazier goes, he has played.
He's in the 100. He's in Supergirl. Also,
well, he played. His title in Supergirl was Angry Father in 2017. So he has been in Supergirl. Like you said, he's Captain Stevens in the 100.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really many things he's been in that I know of that I've seen.
I'm not familiar with this guy.
He was Lieutenant Shelton in Falling Skies, which I've seen that.
I've seen that. I just don't remember his character.
Right. He was in Christmas Story 2. Which I think is a garbage one. Christmas Story, by the way, is my favorite movie. Hey, Cape Chronicles idea, right here, around Christmas time, we need to do a Christmas movie. Just saying. All right.
We've already done Batman Returns. I think that's the only Christmas movie we have on the list.
That's true. He was in Stargate SG-1 back in the day.
Ooh.
As Airman. But yeah,
I don't remember
really...
him on that either. I don't remember him on that either.
He was Gary Kane on X-Files back in 94.
Hmm.
So anyways, but Bob Frazier's coming to, Elseworlds crossover. By the way, they also said, and I didn't put this in the notes, but they also said that the Elseworlds crossover just finished wrapping up.
Saw Stephen Amell post something about that on Twitter.
Yep.
And he's now exhausted and taking the weekend off, which good
That's
for him.
Right.
Good
yes.
for him. Those crossovers are apparently a lot of extra work, and yeah, we totally totally appreciate it. They're always pretty awesome.
They're great. I love it. One more bit of DC TV news. This is interesting, very interesting article. I reread it, so it's probably going to make some Marvel people mad, but you know what? Get over it. Not half our universe hasn't been destroyed by somebody snapping their fingers. but a Titans star superhero says that superhero movies like Avengers Infinity War don't have any stakes in them. This was a very interesting article. The star that said it was Alan Richson, who plays Hawk on the DC Universe, says he has a hard time watching movies about characters with incredible superpowers. Now, obviously, we know we have Superman. But the actor said it feels like the stakes in his movies just aren't real, and they make him less interesting. He says, I think I'm just excited that the fans are finally getting a really raw, human look at superheroes. I think for me, the reason I don't go see Infinity War movies or whatever these are because there's no stakes in them. Everybody just feels invincible all the time. So he went on to clarify what he meant by stakes. He says, rather than the grand scheme of things in both Titans and Avengers, he was talking about personal stakes and sacrifice. Most of the heroes in the movies, like Infinity War, have some sort of superpower, so there isn't much of a physical toll on their bodies. And if you seen Hawk in Titans, there is a physical toll on his body that he deals with. Very, you know, you've seen the years of playing superhero has done to his body. However, the characters in the Titans feel every hit they take, and that's to me what sets them apart. He says, you know, I play a superhero without any superpowers. How great is that?
Well, I mean, they kind of started down this road with Batman versus Superman, because, like, you know, you saw a bit of the toll that being Batman was taking on Bruce Wayne. I mean, it's not as apparent in the theatrical release, but if you're watching the extended version, which is the only version I watch, you can see the scars on Bruce's back and
right.
chest area, and like he's definitely been through some stuff. And
Even in Justice League, when he had a hard time getting his armor off, and he needed
exactly.
Wonder Woman to help. Right.
Well, he dislocated his shoulder up because he decided to pick a fight with Superman. because that's always a really smart thing to do. But I get what he's saying. It's like and okay, so up until Infinity War, we really didn't have a whole lot of stakes. Like you know, it's like you didn't feel like there was any life and death consequences for a lot of the characters in the Marvel right. universe. And yeah, okay, we lost Yondu, we lost a couple other people here and there.
We lost Quicksilver, but we didn't lose the mains.
We didn't lose anyone. I don't want to say we didn't lose anyone important, but we didn't lose any core people.
Until
Infinity War. And even then, we still have the original six Avengers surviving the snap. But I said this when Batman vs. Superman came out originally. You know, they went there. I was like, right. I was not entirely sure how they were going to jump off into building the Justice League by starting off with the death of Superman. I got the explanation. The explanation was, you know, in this day and age, it makes more sense for the human, Batman, to be the one to bring the Justice League together.
Right.
And whether or not that required killing Superman off, I guess that's the way they decided to take it. But, I mean, they went there right off the bat saying, okay, look, we're killing off the most powerful player on the board right now.
Right.
And we have to get him back. That's debate. Whether or not we actually had to get him back is probably could be debatable. I had no problem with it, but you know, I've heard that debate as well.
And even when you talk about Wonder Woman too, Wonder Woman, Chris Pine's character was killed off. No, I don't think anybody would have saw that coming in that movie. I think that was real stakes. I get what they're saying, and I actually agree with this article and this guy. Not because I'm a DC fan, because if it's garbage, I'm going to call it out like it's garbage. We may have another article we're going to talk about a little bit later that I put it in our notes. But this one I agree with, because when I watch all the Marvel movies coming up, I know that they're building to something big, like Infinity War. And they're not going to kill off their mains before they get to Infinity War. Now they're going to kill. Now there's a if I use the phrase the log carriers, you know what I'm talking about?
The log carriers.
So
oh, yeah.
So if you watch Lost, if you know you had all those people in the background that all they were doing all the time was just carrying wood for a fire.
Okay, yeah.
In like almost every episode. So, but they would be the first ones to get killed. So you've had a bunch of log carriers get killed in the Marvel movies, but you haven't had anybody big.
Right.
Like, how much of an impact do you think it would have been if, for some reason, in Iron Man 2, all of a sudden, the end of the movie, they killed Iron Man off for some reason, or we thought he was really dead in Iron Man 2?
Yeah, that would have been... I don't know if they would have done that before Avengers. I mean, and that what I'm thinking about as we're talking is, like, yeah, we do see some stakes with regards to Tony, because he is kind of, after Avengers, he is kind of suffering from PTSD, and that is kind of something he's been carrying around for the right. rest of the MCU. But he's one of the few people without powers.
Right.
And he shows no physical signs of anything, of any toll being taken on him. Rhodey's been the only one who's gotten like seriously hurt.
Right.
In all 10 years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it's like how is it they've
well,
gone
Coulson.
This long? Coulson died, but he got better.
Right.
But yeah, it's like how is it you've gone 10 years and you've only had maybe a handful of, you know, really influential people get killed, go missing, or seriously injured?
Well, not Not considering the snap that happened at the end of Infinity War.
Yeah, no, I'm not even talking about the snap.
Right.
So
not considering the snap, the only other big name that was ever killed off was Loki.
Right.
In Infinity War.
Right.
Because we knew they were going to kill the mains off at the snap. For some reason, they had to stay. But yeah, I mean, I like this article. I agree with this article. People, you know, we may catch flack for this, but I agree with this article. I think it's true. But I've always said that about DC. I thought DC was more real than Marvel. Mm-hmm. But that's my opinion. From reading the comics now and watching the TV shows and the movies, I feel the stakes are higher. I feel there's more realism in it than there is in Marvel. Not that I don't like Marvel. So all you people out there who think I hate Marvel, I don't. I mean, I'll go to Marvel opening night for any movie. I love Marvel movies. But I'm always going to like DC more. Because
right.
That's what I grew up with. But anyways, I thought it was a good article. I encourage you to read it. As a matter of fact, I'll post it in Discord in our DC Talk channel, so people there want to read it too. They're more than willing to do that. Any other thoughts about that article?
No, I think we pretty much got out everything I needed to talk about. So,
all right. Well, what moving into our DCU news, our DC Universe, Carrie.
Okay, so Virginia Madsen has been cast in the role of Maria Sunderland in the Swamp Thing series.
I know I've seen her in stuff, but I just can't think of anything off the top of my head right now. I'm a bad fan.
I looked her up earlier, and I'm trying to remember where I did see her from. I think
it's like
it
I saw the name. I went ooh, this is cool. And then I just completely forgot where I've seen her. Oh yeah, she was in Dune. She played.
Yeah.
She was in the 1984 Dune movie. She was Princess Irulan.
Ooh, okay. All right. Not
well,
bad.
She's also been a voice actor in the current Voltron series. So cool.
Yep. She voiced who was it in Voltron?
One of the commanders.
Commander Hera.
Yes.
Was in Destiny Survivor as well. Never seen that one. I'm trying to think of any other thing else that I've seen her in. She was in the Hatfields and McCoys movie. Never saw that. I'm trying to think. She was in Monk for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I think it was the end of Monk as TK Jensen in Monk. Yeah. So she's been in a few things that I've seen, but
she's the voice of Hippolyta in the 2009 Wonder Woman animated series.
Okay.
Movie.
All right, cool.
So
cool. All right. The next bit of news that we have, we actually don't have any more DC Universe news, but I hope you're continually watching it. And a lot of stuff on there. But just in general news, we actually have two Birds of Prey pieces of information. The first one that I'm going to read is that the Birds of Prey director confirms that the movie will be rated R. The first DC movie rated R.
Excellent.
Yes, I am looking forward to this.
I am very much looking forward to it.
Mainly because of the next bit of news, Carrie, that you're going to share with us.
Oh, yes. Ewan McGregor has been reportedly cast to play Black Mask in the Birds of Prey movie. I can't think of any villains I've ever seen him play, so this is going to be very interesting.
Ooh.
And I'm probably wrong about this.
Well, I like it because I like Ewan McGregor.
Oh, yeah, I love Ewan McGregor. He's awesome.
If you don't know who he played in, what's wrong
with
your life?
Go watch a Star Wars movie.
What is wrong with you? No, he's not in a Marvel movie, but he what is wrong with you?
Exactly.
No, he played one of my favorite characters, Obi-Wan Kenobi, in the prequel trilogy, and which I don't care what the Force Chatter Twitter poll said, the prequels beat the original trilogy all day long to me.
Oh, bite your tongue.
Anyways, there's dissension
in the ranks, boys and girls.
But for all those who may not know what else he played in, he played Grimes in the movie Black Hawk Down.
He was in both Trainspotting movies. He has been in
Moulin Rouge. He voiced Rodney Copperbottom on the movie Robots, the animated movie.
Yep.
I'm trying to see what else.
He was in Jack the Giant Killer. Oh, he's been in lots and lots of
I'm looking at his IMDb profile right now to see kind of what else. He was voiced, but uncredited, in The Force Awakens.
Yes,
so
true.
So if you saw that.
True.
He voiced Lumiere in The New Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson. Woo whoop, get some props. He was also Christopher Robin in the brand new movie Christopher Robin that just came out as well.
I still need to see that.
And he'll probably be the Obi-Wan in the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie that they said they canceled, but it's really not probably. All right.
Who knows?
But anyways, he's been cast as Black Mask. I am excited to see him play villain in this movie. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be different for his character, and I'm looking forward to it. Any other bit of news I may have missed, Carrie?
No, I think that's all the news we have, at least for now.
Well, good deal, because we're about 25 minutes into this episode now, and we're about to move on into our DC TV discussion. All right, so our first move or discussion we're going to talk about tonight is Supergirl. This was Season 4, Episode 3, Man of Steel. Let me give you a little bit of the summary. The story is of how Ben Lockwood became Agent Liberty is told. All right. Give me some thoughts that you kind of thought about this episode,
well,
Carrie, I've kind of got my own thoughts of how this
it was kind of sad and a bit scary to watch him descend into the I mean, this is like a textbook how someone becomes a bad guy, not even necessarily just a bad guy, but like kind of like a radical, like militant, you know, and I get it. There's a lot of bad stuff happens to him, but I mean, you know, it's something I kept thinking about is this quote from Star Trek, you know, it's possible to do everything right and still lose. And
right.
That's just life. So it was an interesting juxtaposition from the end of last season where, you know, everyone kept saying that Supergirl was going to have to kill Rain. Supergirl was going to have to kill Rain, and she stuck to her guns. She stuck to her principles and said, "No, I'm going to find a different way of doing this." And now you have this season where you watch Ben Lockwood descend into this, basically give up all of his principles, the principles he had at the beginning of the episode, and descend and become this basically evil character. And
right.
It's like if you can't stand by your principles when they're tested, what good are they?
Right.
So it was very, very eerie it's very eerie watching this mirror current events this way.
Right. All right. So to me, these episodes for the whole week, not just Supergirl, but other shows, kind of felt like, you know, we talked a little bit about this before, and I mentioned you used the word transitional episodes, but I think you said it better. They were moving the pieces to where they needed to be to set up the rest of the season. And we are fast approaching the Elseworlds crossover, which is exciting because we're only about a month away from that. So when I look at it, being proud of who you are and where you are from is great.
Right.
However, when it turns to extreme criticism and violence, it becomes a problem.
Exactly.
For example, the riot that happened outside the alien metal plant. that's when it became a problem. And then when they then when they lit the plant on fire, when he lost everything, and then he hit the guy with the horn pipe, right?
Yeah.
And the phrase that I used when I was typing up my notes was before. So as I watch this show, normally what I do is I have my phone open with the show notes on, and I'm watching the show. And as I'm going, I am just spitting my thoughts out as I'm watching the show. So I'll hit pause if I need to. But I typed in here, people fear what they do not understand.
Right.
Because it is scary to fear something you don't know what it is. And that is funny because another show actually used that exact line other than Supergirl. But that, I think, is what happened here. I actually liked how the progression went from on the sideline Ben to just being the professor and is telling his dad, just, stop, get over it, to dealing with everyday issues turn into angry Ben.
Right.
Do I think he had a reason? Yeah. But do I think the way he voiced that reasoning? No. Because his voice turned into physical violence. And I think that's what's wrong. I think you can disagree with people. You can disagree with ideas. You can disagree with what's going on. You can protest. You can get your voice out there and make it known. But when you turn it into violence and extreme criticism and physical altercations, then I think that's when you've crossed the line. And that's when he did. When I saw him cross that line, now he shouldn't have done it in his class either.
No, he shouldn't have.
Now, if he had kept it neutral, it would have been different. But he showed one's extreme side rather than both parties. But I do think that was the first step when I saw him actually starting to flip.
Mm-hmm. That's when you see the switch get flipped, and when he gets when they called him out on it, he instead of backing off and saying, "Oh wait, this is where I'm going is really not okay." He just doubled down and then he tripled down, and to borrow from something someone has been saying in the past week, Yeah, there are. You have to look at both sides of the coin and both sides of the argument. But there comes a point where you just have to stop and say no. Dehumanizing people, for lack of a better term, because in this case we're dealing with people from an actual different planet, is not okay.
Right.
Reacting the way that Ben reacted is not okay. So,
I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but I do understand how he came to be.
Right.
How Agent Liberty came to be. He was filled with hate because he was a common man who was doing nothing wrong.
Right.
He was a hardworking man providing for his family, and he lost everything by alien attacks.
Right.
I see the parallels with this and BVS.
Yeah.
Because you have the super people, which is Superman, with the alien attacks, that Superman didn't tell them to come to Earth. They came because he was there. And because the Supergirl is on Earth, who are they going to come now? They're going to bring violence. They're going to bring other aliens.
Right.
And he was a man who lost everything, like Bruce Wayne lost people. Because of Superman's believed ego,
but Bruce Wayne wasn't inciting everyone else to violence. He was going on his own personal crusade to neutralize Superman. Agent Liberty is actually inciting people to go out and beat and kill and terrorize people who just want to, live their lives. And I mean,
right.
I've said this several times this week. I feel like this season of Supergirl, for where we are right now in the world, is kind of mandatory viewing, because this is the perfect this and Black Lightning are basically shining a light on things that really do need to be talked about. And there was a time not long ago, you think of back to season one of Supergirl, you know, there's episodes of Supergirl in season one that got pulled or switched. There was an episode of Buffy in season three that got pulled because of current events. And I think it's good that the network is not pulling any punches on this.
Right. And you know, we've talked about this, whether off the air or on the air too, is that I'm okay with a certain amount of it, but it's my only problem that I'm having right now is that they are doing, I'm okay with them shining certain light on things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the idea that is being billed as the whole season. It seems like they're just shoving it at us. Like, I'm okay if you want to address it, but it just seems like it's just, in case you didn't realize what's going on, here's a little bit more. In case you really didn't realize what, here's some more. It's just in your face all the time.
Yeah, and I don't know when these episodes were written and shot. So they couldn't, I don't think the producers and the creators of the show could know where we are as a world right in this particular moment in time. But it's very, very eerie watching how this is reflecting things that are going on in real life right now.
Right.
So, I think it's kind of necessary that at least we have at least two shows that are tackling this right now.
Right. And like I said, I have no problem with them tackling it and dealing mm-hmm. with it, but I just don't want it to be so in your face all the time in the episode. You know, I want other things, and that's where I'm coming from.
Right.
But I enjoyed it today. Is there any other news about Supergirl? Any other thoughts?
No, I think we pretty much covered Supergirl. We may get hate mail for this one, but that's okay.
Yeah. I do like how Supergirl's suit now looks like, you know, Captain Marvel, the real Captain Marvel, not that mm-hmm. Marvel knockoff, but the DC one.
Ha 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 ha. Although, this is kind of, I'm wondering how long she's going to be in that, because we've seen her not in that suit in pictures from the crossover. So
yeah.
This is leading to my fear that the crossover is not going to quote unquote count.
See, I think it will
in the overall storyline, but it could. I think it could go either way.
And I don't think we're gonna get any hate mail for this.
Yeah.
I think people are genuinely open to this. Nah, we ain't gonna get
yeah.
no hate mail.
Yeah.
But that's Supergirl. What's our next show we're going to discuss tonight?
Okay, so we are moving on to Arrow. So, still for episode 3, Crossing Lines. So, still in prison, Oliver faces his biggest challenge yet. Meanwhile, Felicity gets an intriguing offer, and Diggle asks Curtis to go undercover for Argus.
I'm glad to get some Curtis time.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep, I miss Curtis. Curtis is fun. It
seems like the prison fight seems to be more and more. For those who don't know, I kind of have a guilty pleasure TV show that I like to watch. So fangirl confessional moment right here. Okay. I enjoy watching Riverdale. Shh, don't tell anybody.
You just said it on air.
I know. But see, I can edit that out if I really wanted to. And this past week, they had another prison fight scene where they had guards paying prisoners to fight. So it was interesting to see Oliver now going in fighting in a prison. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. How about the unction of Felicity
oh, yeah.
bugging the FBI
and then admitting to it?
Right.
I would have admitted to it that right away. I would have just, you know, left the bug there and done my own thing. But
right.
I understand that she's trying to work with the FBI on this, but still. She could have just, you know, been sneaky about this.
Well, I don't think she was actually working with the FBI. I think she was she was tricking Agent Watson. And I'll get on that in just a second.
Yeah, I actually find I think I'm going to miss Agent Watson, and I don't like Agent Watson at all.
I'm gonna miss her too. She was pretty cool this episode.
Yeah, this episode she was cool, but this is the first time she's been cool, and now that she's actually cool, she's gone, and I'm gonna miss her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. What about Diggle and Lila?
That's going to be interesting. I'm not sure what's going on with that. I don't want to believe that Lila's turning into a new Amanda Waller. But at the same time, she has stuff that she can't really talk about. So
right,
this is gonna get sticky.
Yes. Yeah. It is. I know she's hiding something.
Oh yeah.
So it's interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see that relationship. I still firmly believe that Oliver's little lackey that keeps following around is the actual demon and is a spy of.
I agree.
Of Diaz.
I agree. The only other thing that popped into my head was that they were somehow going to bring Ra's al Ghul back, because I mean he's the demon as well.
I hope not.
I don't think that's going to happen. But it would be very very. It's going to be very very interesting if the little guy turns out to be the demon.
Well, the whole theme, if you didn't, in case you picked up on it in the episode, was don't trust anyone. You cannot trust anyone in here.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's, and in his little comment when he said, right now you cannot be a Green Arrow in prison. So slowly that facade of that Oliver's going through is getting chipped away of him being Green Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
In prison.
Oh, yeah.
My last thought that I had was Felicity is going down the dark path.
Yes. And she's going to be bringing Laurel in on it.
And Renee.
If you've seen the previews for next week. So this is gonna be possibly a bad thing.
Yeah. Definitely I don't think she locked the doors on purpose. Because I think her whole goal was not to help Watson to get Diaz. I mean, I know she wanted to, but she realized that she could go get whatever that Longbow Hunter name was,
uh-huh.
and capture her, and didn't tell the FBI that she had captured her.
Well, I think she was thinking on her feet. I think her primary goal was to get Diaz, but when she realized that she wasn't going to be able to, she right away went to Plan B, which is get her hands on someone who can get to Diaz. So
true. Any of the thoughts that you have about Arrow?
No, I think that's pretty it.
It was one of those kind of setting up episodes.
I'm worried about what's going to happen in level 2.
Oh, it's about to get real.
Things are about to get real.
I mean, you skipped the whole solitary confinement. You went straight to level 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting.
I mean, you barely saw him in solitary confinement. You saw him... like, you know, working out and stuff, and then they let him out, and then, you know, he got into the fight at the end and got sent to level 2. And who are the people in level 2? That's kind of scary.
I'm interested in thinking about any more villains that he put away that were in level 2.
Yeah.
That we'll see. That'd be really cool. But anyway, so moving on to the next show... Legends of Tomorrow. Now, I have to admit, my rankings for Legends of Tomorrow used to be pretty low to the bottom. I did not really like the show. But this season, it's right up at number 2, right under Titans.
Yeah.
It is such a superhero reprieve out of watching some of the serious things that you see in the other episodes. So let me give you a little bit of summary, and then we'll... We'll move into it. Season 4, Episode 2, Witch Hunt. When the magical time seismograph goes off, right there is enough to make you laugh.
Right.
The team finds themselves headed to the Salem Witch Trials. Sarah notices that Zari is taking the case personally when she promises to save a mom who is being accused of being a witch. However, the team quickly learns that there is a magical creature in town creating problems they hadn't been expecting. Meanwhile, Nate and Ava work together to try to keep their Time Bureau funding by proving to them that magic exists. All I can say to this whole episode was, what in the Disney hell?
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome, and they actually tried to use the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. So I was like, yes, oh. Yes, yes.
When the fairy godmother starts singing in the forest, and Rory was like, shut up, and Ray's like, she was singing. I kind of like that. Everybody else hear that?
I think I agree with you, especially with as serious as some of the other shows have been. You know, I think I posted an article about this a few months ago. It's like, you know, Legends of Tomorrow has pretty much embraced the fact that
it's a goofball.
They are taking themselves seriously. It's like,
I'm okay,
you know,
with that.
It's like, you know what? It and I think one of the complaints about the first season was it got a bit too serious, and now they're just like, you know, F it. You know, let's just have a good time. We have, you know, homicidal unicorns, we have singing fairy godmothers that are, you know, evil.
Yeah.
Great.
Let's just do it.
Let's just do it.
Oh, but this is so funny. In case you don't realize, the whole person creating it is a fairy godmother that is reminiscent of the fairy godmother from the Cinderella cartoon.
Because
my daughters were watching that on VHS the other day, in my mind, when they're watching it and they're at the part where she's singing Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo and she's turning everything into it, I'm thinking, no, last time I saw that was on Legends of Tomorrow. That's not what happened. So anyway, I loved this episode. I love seeing Nate and his dad kind of make a breakthrough.
By the way, Dad, did I mention I'm a superhero? That was awesome.
Come on. Come on, Ray. Change. Stop being a pig. Come on. I need you to change to human. And then Ray changes back and he's just straight naked.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and, yeah. Superhero.
By the way, I'm a superhero.
So, I still
it's
love...
Like, why couldn't Nate have just come out and said that? I don't know. But yeah, that was fun.
I still love Constantine's entrances.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his entrance is when he walks into the Wave Rider and just drops his stuff and says, all right, I have some demands. I want this much vacation time. I want health insurance or something. I mean, just, that is hilarious to me.
Like, they get vacation time? They get health insurance? What?
I saw somebody playing Bebo Candy Crush.
Yay.
Glad we got a Bebo shout out. And then when Nate does not originally want to go with Ava to talk to his dad, Gary goes with it because Gary knows the stuff. And then he says, if you don't think there's magic, look at this. And he like unbuttons his shirt to show his nipple. And she says, Gary, put it away.
I love Gary.
I love Gary too. Oh, I hope they never kill off Gary.
Oh, God. I shouldn't. I was like... Gary is normally the kind of character that would annoy the heck out of me, but I love him. He's awesome.
Oh my goodness, go Gary.
Yay, go Gary.
But anyway, so they do end up taking, they end up, you know, saving during the witch trials the best they can. They leave, they took care of the demon, and something I do want to kind of, if we do talk about a serious note is, last week, at the end of the episode, Constantine got some writing on his mirror where he was staying about somebody's coming for him. This week, he tries to recruit... He knows who it is. I think he does. And he tries to recruit the fairy godmother to help him. And she says, I would rather spend my time in hell than go up against this person that's after you. So I'm anxious to see who is that person that's after Constantine. If this demon or fairy godmother is scared of this guy, who else knows? Who knows what this guy is capable of?
Well,
Evil
Bebo. I have a... Evil Bebo. Bebo. Yeah, and I just finished watching Justice League Dark and Constantine City of Demons. And yeah, I
told
keep...
you that movie was definitely not for kids.
Oh yeah, that is definitely really, really dark. I loved it. I kind of half hoped that Lucifer would show up because, well, he's also a Vertigo character. But oh well, we're digressing. But also, you know, just thinking back to the original Constantine series, because that was something they've been talking about the Rising Darkness and stuff,
right.
Going back to that series, and it's like something is prickly. I have this faint hope that it will be that they may try to bring back someone from the end of the series for that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, watch the Constantine series, get to the and when you get to the season the series finale, don't ask me why I want to throw things, because oh crap, they left it there. They left it there, and then yep. They canceled the show. And I'm not bitter.
It's coming
at all.
Back in the DC universe, Carrie. We all know it. It's coming
we
back.
Hope. We hope.
It's, oh, it is. It is. But any other news about Legends of Tomorrow?
No, I think that pretty much covered it.
All right, so we're about 50 minutes in, and we got about 3 more shows to go through. So why don't you get us started here, Carrie?
God's help us. And we still, in January we're gonna have Gotham too. So that's gonna be even more fun.
but next week we only have 2 less shows since Flash.
Exactly.
And Lightyear came, so.
Exactly.
Next week we'll party a little bit. But anyways, yeah. I digress. Go ahead.
Okay. So, The Flash, season 5, episode 4, news flash. Let's see. Barry and Iris face the ultimate parenting test when Team Flash battles Spin, a savvy millennial armed with Meditech and a dangerous agenda for their daughter Nora. Ralph is feeling deflated until an unlikely source issues a challenge to help boost his confidence.
All right. Crunchy pancakes. So
that whole scene hurt me
immensely.
I went to cooking school. I cook pretty well. Watching Iris in the kitchen hurt me.
What was that song she was listening to?
I don't remember. Oh,
Girls Just Wanna Have Fun.
It was Cyndi Lauper. I just wanted to jump into the screen, take the implements away, and fix everything.
But it's good to know her cooking never got better.
Yeah, no, Nora, Iris, step away from the stove. Step away from the stove.
Oh. And then we got a little bit more of Sherlock. Not Sherlock, Sherlock. He quoted one time, and I can't remember why I put this quote in here now. That's not very brave of him. I will speak to him next time I see him.
Hmm.
Oh, who did he say that about? I can't see it.
Was
I can't remember
Barry?
Now. Oh, no, no. Sisko, because remember, Sisko was not in this episode, because they said Sisko was at his parents' house trying to recover. And
right,
he says,
because Vibe is dead.
Right, and then Sherlock said, that's not very brave of him. I will speak to him next time I see him.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes on, and he asks for help, and then Caitlin gives her response during his lecture, and he says, I don't think we're interrupting Sherlock, right?
There are times when I just want to slap him.
Listen, he is playing this character so well.
Oh, yeah. I agree, but there are times when I just want to slap him and tell him to shut up.
Yes.
And I will interrupt you anytime I feel like it, Buster.
What do you think about Nora's childish personality at the beginning of this episode? I understand it. I kind of understand it.
I kind of want more of an explanation of... I'd really like to see... I'd really like a them to bring in like future Iris and have and give us an explanation for why she decided to suppress her powers.
Right. So that's the truth as to why Nora does not like Iris. Mm-hmm. It's because her mama suppressed the powers. Now,
right.
We don't know why that she suppressed the powers. It could have been because she may not have been able to control, and she said, because I can't control, then, you know, I'm going to go and suppress them because you can't control your powers. Or was it because maybe she said, you know, because of what happened to your dad, I'm going to suppress your powers. We don't know. It'd be interesting to find the reason why. But we understand now that that's why, in a way, she hates Iris, is because her mama didn't give her a choice. From what we do know, did not give her a choice in regards to suppressing her power or not.
Well, okay, so this is... So it may have been kind of to help her out, because I was watching this and my mind immediately hit on Impulse, and Impulse is Barry's grandson. I don't think he's Nora's son, but Impulse, when he was born, his metabolism was so fast that he basically aged faster than normal. And
right.
They basically raised him in a virtual world because that was the only way they could that he could, you know, learn stuff at the speed that his brain was working. And,
right.
And that was the only way that the knowledge that, like, his education and everything else he needed to know could keep up with the rate that he was growing and the rate that his brain was absorbing information. They had to basically, he was in a simulation and everything was going at his speed.
Right.
So I wonder if it's something like that.
I can see the comparisons to that. And I think that'd be okay as long as they don't age Nora. Like he was gonna be aged, but
well, I mean, he eventually got out of it. I think they got him out of it when he was like 13 or something like that. I don't remember how old Impulse was when they got him out of the and sent him to the past.
So I'm anxious. Then I think whoever, and I'm gonna ask this question: who took the chip out of Nora? She mentioned that Iris didn't tell her, and Barry wasn't around. So I think whoever took the chip out of Nora manipulated her to send her back.
Yeah.
We don't know who sent her back yet, so we know it wasn't Iris. I don't think it was Barry, because Barry was not there. So whoever, I think, took the chip out of her, sent her back.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting.
That's
going to
be
when
interesting.
That comes out.
Mm-hmm.
We got introduced to Metatech this time, so it's not just metahumans now. Now technology has been infused with dark matter. How do you feel about that?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Might as well.
Why not? I mean, if humans can be affected by dark matter, why not things?
Right. The scene where Barry supports Iris in her future decision of suppressing Nora's power was a very powerful scene.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I really enjoyed that scene. And this is just a preliminary talk. You know, I'll just put this out here. Husbands, support your wife. Even if you think she's wrong, support your wife. But I think generally Iris had a good reason for doing it, for suppressing her powers.
Oh yeah,
we don't know what it
I
is
agree.
Yet. And honestly, I hope we never find out, because I don't want to know. I would rather know that she did it for a reason. It'd be okay if we found it out, but. But I wouldn't mind it being one of those mysteries we just never know. So, anyways, my last bit of news or thought I had on here is Cicada's powers could be evolving. Obviously, we know that the dagger and the cicada were created together, and the thing in his chest is now obviously a piece of the satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the satellite was infused with dark matter, it's obviously a part of him now. And then we saw him kind of grab that steel pole and bend it.
Yeah.
And scrunch it. So are his powers evolving?
I don't know, but I think in part they're evolving, and I think in part that that piece of satellite is maybe killing him.
Yeah.
So.
It is killing him.
Gonna be interesting. This is gonna be interesting.
It will. Moving on to Black Lightning. If you don't have anything else about the Flash.
No, let's keep going here.
Let's go on. So Black Lightning, Season 2, Episode 4, The Book of Consequences, Translucent Freak. While Tobias schemes to clear himself of any suspicion of Alvin's death, by the way, I told you he got himself caught on purpose.
Yep.
And I like the way he ended the episode two, where he was saying, "I want to do everything I can for Freeland. Mm-hmm. I want to be a pillar in this community." He reminds me of a manipulation like what's his name? Wilson Fisk on Daredevil.
Yes.
Jeff has it out with Anissa, Jennifer, Bill, and Lowry. This was a very fight-centric episode. So, the one I really want to handle is the Pierce and Lowry dispute. So, two kids were fighting. Jefferson had it under control in the hallway. All right? Mm-hmm. He took care of it. He had it under control. And then Lowry comes out and says, "I'm sorry, but we have a zero tolerance policy for fighting. You're suspended. You're expelled." So he says, "No, wait a minute." So Pierce says, "No, wait a minute. I've taken care of it." He said, "Zero tolerance. You know, we're not." So he's very firm, and that's fine. I think it was disrespectful at that time the way he said it to him, knowing the position he just came from as the principal. But on the flip side, Jefferson going to his office and slamming the door and approaching him like he did was disrespectful as well. Disrespect against disrespect does not breed respect or cooperation. So I think the way both of them handled it, I don't think they did it correctly.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you on that. My feeling is that I get the sense that either Lowry was not upfront with any of these policies, or he was not clear with anyone what he expected.
Well, you would think, though, a principal coming in would say, I've changed it and updated the handbook. You need to read it if you're going to be a teacher.
You would think so, but this is the impression I'm getting, is that he is not... he has not been very upfront, or if he has been upfront with what the new policies are, he hasn't invited any kind of discussion of, hey, you know, this may not be the best way to approach these issues.
The whole issue was zero tolerance is because if not, it would be a case by case. And then you'd say, well, why is this one okay and this one's not? Or why is this one not and this one is? And I understand. So he says, let's just do zero tolerance because we're not even going to deal with case by case.
But you come at it from the other side, from Jefferson's point of view. And it's like, yeah, expelling this kid, the kid from the high school is going to ruin the kid's life. It's like, this is a, you know, you're basically putting him out there on the street and not allowing him to get an education. And it's like, you know, education is so important in getting, you know, in social mobility, economic mobility, everything else. It's like, you know, you can't just, you know, kick them out.
Right. Like I said, I think there was disrespect on both sides. The mm-hmm. way he talked to Jefferson and what he said to him in the hallway, I think was wrong. But I also think that the way that Jefferson went in, and he should never have slammed the principal's door, regardless if he liked him or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can't walk into my boss and slam his door tomorrow.
No, I can't either. Well, my boss doesn't have a door.
And honestly, if he was the principal, he would have said, "All right, you slam my door, you're out of here. Goodbye."
Right.
So there was disrespect on both ends. So I think neither did handle it correctly. But it's gonna. I don't think their dispute's over with. I think they're still gonna.
No, I think this is. I think this is gonna be going on for a while. Or Jefferson may up and quit.
Right. My next thought is this: the doctor is really messed up mentally.
Oh yeah, she's a freaking psycho.
She is very psycho. Gabby got his butt kicked.
Yes.
Pretty good. The lawyer that was trying to get Jefferson out of testifying, amazing at her job.
Yeah.
She pretty much owned him and said, this is what the court's going to do to you. This is what's going to happen if you continue to do it.
Right.
Anyway, so Lori was amazing. Any other thoughts that you have about the show?
Jen agreeing to see Khalil is not going to end well. At the end. That scene at the end, that is not going to end well. And that makes me worried. And also, you know, just with the way things are on the school campus at this time, that could get them both into trouble.
Yeah.
And he's not wearing his bracers. Right now, so that could potentially out Jen. Quite frankly, with the way the school is right now, if Jen were my kid, I wouldn't want her in the school either.
Oh, I agree. And not being able to control her powers either.
And especially not being able to control her powers. I think that they didn't handle it correctly. And I'm not a parent, so I really have no idea what the heck I'm talking about. But to me, it seemed like, and Jen wasn't willing to listen either. But to me, it seemed like Jeff was telling her that he didn't want her at the school, but he wasn't sitting her down saying, "Look, these are the reasons why I don't want you there right now." And it's not just about not being able to control your powers. It's about the environment of the school itself. You know, this is not an environment I want my kid in at the moment.
Right. I could actually see it going into the typical trope of superhero movies or something where it says, you know, so she's not feeling respected at home, so she goes and maybe she seeks out Tobias. And Tobias,
that could be a problem.
And then she kind of works with Tobias until, and then she ends up going up against her sister or her dad for a certain amount of time because Khalil is able to manipulate her and it won't work with Tobias.
And that's why I don't think that thing with Khalil at the end is going to end well. I would hope that she would go to either her counselor or to Gambi before she, you know, goes completely, you know, over to Whale. But, you know, who knows? I mean, she's, what, 16?
Yeah.
16, 17, and...
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be cool, though. I'd love to see...
Teenagers do stupid stuff, so...
I'd love to see
We were both teenagers at one point.
Yeah, but I didn't... No, never mind. I did a lot of stupid stuff. anyway, so any other news about Black Lightning?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, what else we got? Right.
Okay, so last show, Titans, Season 1, Episode 4, Doom Patrol. Yay!
Finally!
Okay. Yay, finally! So, Dick and Corey try to track down Rachel while Gar takes her to the house of the Doom Patrol for safety.
We got some Beast Boy.
Yay!
Finally!
Finally some Beast Boy!
I'm excited we got some Beast Boy. I enjoyed going to his pad at the Doom Patrol mansion. And we saw all the transformations and little hints throughout his pad that we see in Teen Titans in the comics. We saw the, you know, the tiger, the pterodactyl, the T-Rex. So it's really cool to see all those little things. But I'm excited we got some Beast Boy finally.
Yeah.
His entrance was a little different. He was a... Okay, I'm trying to figure out... I thought at first I thought he was a soldier. that was given
Beast Boy?
Gar. But I'm trying to figure out why he was where he was.
He may have just been, you know, wandering around, wandering in the general area, or like maybe working with, like, you know, Doctors Without Borders. It looked like they were in the middle of a...
So he was a teenager, though, right?
Teenager, or maybe, you know, late, early 20s, possibly. He looked like...
Yeah, but then they wouldn't
like
be Teen Titans.
It's not Teen Titans, it's just Titans.
Yeah, so I get that.
Dick,
and then he
Dick
got a
and
rare
Corey
disease.
Are definitely not teenagers in this show.
No.
The only teenager really is Rachel.
Right. And then he got a rare disease, and he was able to be helped by that way.
They were obviously in some kind of disease or epidemic spot when the chief found him.
Yep. So anyways, I'm glad we got some Beast Boy. That was really
yep.
cool. And mm-hmm. I like the interactions between him and him and Rachel. I think they're gonna have a great chemistry throughout the show, so I'm excited about that. But moving into Doom Patrol, did you catch a hint of Brendan Fraser's voice in Robot Man?
That was Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Amongst the robotic voice, I heard a lot of Brendan Fraser.
And Matt Ballmer was there as Negative Man. So we've got at least two of the cast in this episode.
Right.
So that's awesome.
It would suck not to be able to taste food anymore.
Oh, just kill me now.
As he's asking, what's it taste like? What's it feel like?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It would suck. And that one Elastigirl.
Is that Elastigirl?
That was Elastigirl, I think. No.
I don't know.
I think it is, but I'm not sure. I really do think it is Elastigirl. Anyways, her pile mountain of food with waffles and
gravy,
spaghetti and gravy over everything. It looks amazing because I love gravy.
That made me kind of
gag a little
sick. Yeah.
Chief, wow. Did anybody else catch when Chief said everyone thought that they were doomed?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was cool. It's good to see that Brendan Fraser as Cliff at one time had a mullet. I thought that. My last thought is this. All the Titans have assembled finally, except for Cyborg, which we know he's coming. We don't know how, but we know he's coming.
But we also know Donna Troy is coming at some point this season. So
yes. So, all right. Any other thoughts about Titans that you had that I don't have?
I have a feeling Timothy Dalton may be a better chief than the guy we saw here.
What was up with there being a different?
I think they just hadn't cast. They hadn't finished rounded out the cast yet.
Okay.
So
yeah, I do think he'll be a better one. Anyways.
But Timothy Dalton's amazing anyway. So yeah.
So any other thoughts about our DC TV discussion then, Carrie? Any other thoughts of things that we missed or any other whatnot?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. It's still, I still love how gritty and dark Titans is.
I do. I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorite shows, of the week now outside of Legends of Tomorrow. but anyways, I know I had in here a discussion to talk about this article. Have you had a chance to read it?
I've looked it over a bit.
Okay. I'll post it in Discord as well. I think I may have already posted it in Discord. But it's DC's Joker movie could ruin the MCU. Generally the thought is that Marvel is living by the sword of everything has to be related. And DC is going to the opposite direction to see what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't expect it to have any other ties to the other franchise or any relationship to the canon. But if it's a good movie, a good comic book movie, a good blockbuster movie, it could ruin MCU because now if MCU is seeking to do everything in order and everything has to mm-hmm. be connected, they're limiting themselves as to what stories they can tell on the big screen. And if DC does it right and this Marvel movie is a success, could it spell the flip for DC movies in theaters against Marvel? I think it could. I think it could. There's a lot of actors that we're getting. There's a lot of movies that we're getting that are kind of turning the corner for DC. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about this. That's just kind of my thought about it.
I think it's possible. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much.
Right.
Just because, you know, as much as I love DC, things have not gone their way in the last, you know, few years, except for Wonder Woman.
Right.
Everything I see about this movie is very, very interesting, and it's very hard, but I am trying not to get my hopes up that this is going to break anything. I get what you're saying about, you know, making this not connected to anything in the greater DCU. It's fine. Either way you look at it, you're going to have to explain something to someone. So whether it's, you know, 20 some odd movies of the MCU and explaining where they all fit, or it's, you know, this movie is about the Joker, but it's not related to anything over here, and this movie is about Solomon Grundy, and it's not related to anyone else over here, and we're going to do, who knows, Swamp Thing, and it has nothing to do with the movies and stuff like that, and either way, the non-comic book plugged in audience is going to need an explanation of saying, no, right, this is what you need to know about this, this is what you need to know about this, this is what, and it's just going to be a matter of whether or not people want to have to, you know, deal with that. And, you know, I've seen the argument from, you know, several people, you know, you shouldn't have to do the extra reading
in order to get the movie.
It helps.
Right.
But you shouldn't
have
to. But
how many people went and read all about Marvel characters when Marvel first came out, though, too?
True.
Like their movies.
That's true.
So people are willing to put in the reading, you know, and now it does make it easier when it's connected. I'm not going to lie. It does.
It does. It does. It, up to the point where, you know, you have someone who has, for whatever reason, has never seen any of the Marvel movies, and suddenly they want to know what's a good jumping off point, and you have to say, well, where do you start? Like, right. I had to explain to someone at work, because they were trying to catch up, that no, you really need to watch Ant-Man before you watch Civil War. And you really need to watch Winter Soldier before you watch Civil War, because otherwise there's stuff that you're going to miss. And I had to give that person the order, like, no, you have to watch this one before you get to Civil War, and then Infinity War. So, you know, and it's like I think I've said this on a number of occasions, you know, after Force Awakens came out, I had people coming up to me saying, asking me, who are these people? Who's Rey? Who's this Kylo Ren guy? Like, and I'm just saying, like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But because they think I'm the expert,
they come to me
and I have to say, you know, I actually don't know what's going on, because this is a whole new area. So I'm the kind of person who I like, you know, I like piecing things together, but not everyone's going to want to do that kind of work.
Well, either way, what we know either way is that this movie is either going to me, it's going to be one of those, it's going to make or break, because it's the first one that's not really connected to the DCEU.
Yeah.
So we're going to, if it's a success and it's a box office slam, then DC hits something right. And they gives them, it does give them the right to. Now, I don't think it's going to ruin Marvel, because Disney is not going to be ruined by one movie. It's just not going to happen. But if it's a success, DC usually look at it and says, okay, we need to keep doing it like this, because this is working. When we try to connect it, it wasn't working. This is working. But it's a good article. I encourage you to read it. I put it in the Discord channel. If you haven't read it yet, it's on Screen Rant. Good article. I don't know if it's really feasible to ruin the MCU, but it's a good thought that Marvel's philosophy is everything has to be connected, whereas DC's philosophy is, nah, it don't. We just want to tell awesome stories.
I don't know that you have to necessarily ruin the MCU. I think Marvel and DC have to be very upfront with what stories are connected and what isn't. I mean, we had this discussion, you know, when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out, and it was kind of tangentially connected to the Marvel movies. But then they kind of, you know, stopped doing that.
Right.
Like it was this big thing where, like, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was going to be somehow connected to the movies. And then they kind of went their own way, and they never officially said anything. But, you know.
Yeah, like it's. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Netflix, connected when they want it to be.
Yeah, and then the Netflix stuff is occasionally people will say that, oh, they caught a glimpse of Avengers Tower in a background shot of Iron Fist or whatever, and
right,
you know, but they don't actually. And I think Avengers is, I think the Defenders shows are basically, like, still in 2016 or 17, so they're not even
right.
They're not even caught up to the snap yet. I know Cloak and Dagger is they've basically come out and said yes, it is connected to the Netflix stuff. Whereas on the other side with DC, they have been very upfront with saying no, the movies are not connected to the Arrowverse, which are not connected to anything on the DCU, and are not connected to any of the animated stuff, or are not connected anywhere here. And they've been very upfront with, you know, these are all separate little playgrounds that they have. It just, yeah, and then it gets into the place where, you know, when they start talking about how they have to kill off Deadshot here because he's in a movie over here, that's when things get really weird, kind of weird.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, good article. Check it out. And we look forward to hearing your thoughts. No, you're fine. We look forward to hearing your thoughts in Discord. We're running about an hour and 20 minutes now. And for such a short episode this was supposed to be, it turned into a longer one. But that's okay.
That's
okay. So, but in closing, I do want to kind of give you we don't have any listener feedback, but listen, we want your feedback. We'll talk about that later. But we do want your feedback. It really does help us, and it doesn't take long to go online, drop a 5-star, say hey, I enjoy the show. Done. But before we get to that, I want to give you our final DC quote for tonight. The final DC quote is this: Shazam, said by Shazam, which is the real Captain Marvel. All right, but we...
You're going to get yourself fired if you keep
doing
this.
Oh, it's so awesome. But we want to hear from you. Email us at dctalk@randomchatter.com. We all get a copy of that email, so we'll be able to see. And if it's email, we'll be able to read it. And tell us what you thought about the show, about this episode. Find us on Twitter at Random Chatter. You can also find us on Instagram at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at @OBMikeKenobi. That's @OB_MikeKenobi. Carrie, where can we find you?
You can find me at @CarrieBlackfire42. That's @KeriBlackfire42.
That's right. And you can also find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. So check out randomchatter.com. There's polls. There's other things. So find us on randomchatter.com. There's a bunch of other shows. I want to encourage you to go over to our sister podcast, which is Guardians of the MCU. It's a great, great time over there. I enjoy listening to them every week when they do post something new. So keep that thing in mind. We want to hear from you.
Please leave reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. If you leave a review, especially if it's on iTunes, because that's the one I look at least. I don't know about Mike. We will read your review on air. Don't forget to tell your friends about us, friends, family, coworkers, total strangers. Yes, I co-opted that from Tim.
Yes.
If you know someone who likes the DC universe, and they are looking for a podcast, send them over to us. And if you don't agree with me on all the stuff about Supergirl, just, you know, send it my way. I could be wrong.
We want other theories and other thoughts. And we will be respectful when we disagree with them.
Exactly.
But it's okay.
So don't forget to join us on Discord, randomchatter.com/discord. You can get into the main lobby and all of the show channels for free. But if you support us through Patreon, that is randomchatter.com/Patreon, for at least $1 a month, you get access to all of the channels that we have on the Discord server. And there are many of them.
There's a lot. And I am usually in every single one.
You are?
No.
I didn't think so.
So Discord, and you already mentioned Patreon too, right?
I did.
Good deal. Were you
distracted by the sports ball again?
The sports ball was on, yes. So good. Glad you hit sports. You talked about Patreon. Review us seriously. If you reviewed us in Stitcher and Google Play, I have tried to look to see for find those reviews. If you did review us on those and we hadn't read it out, do me a favor. Go to dctalk@randomchatter.com and send us an email and tell us, hey, I reviewed you guys on Stitcher and Google Play. We'll do our best to look for it. All right, I just want to put that out there. But the music you hear on this podcast is Shotgun Senorita by Blue Stolly, and As Silly as the Synth It Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. And until next time, we'll see you later on DC Talk. We'll